I was laughing earlier telling everybody that I can't believe we've managed to get this many people in the studio. And now, literally, we have a lot of people in the studio.
We're packed in here like sardines, aren't we, Katie?
We are. But that's how we were during the hurricane, too.
That's true. That's because we had equipment everywhere. There was a giant industrial fan that was so loud, we'd have to turn it off to do yes. breaks and then turn it back on. It takes it a minute to get spinning again. Like you're one of those old-timey airplanes.
Right. I found the pictures from that the other day because we had a fan set up in this room, too, blowing equipment, trying to keep it cool.
Yeah, so it wouldn't all melt.
Yes, let's introduce our guest now. Let's see. Why don't I let y'all introduce you?
Well, good deal. Good morning, Katie.
How are you?
Thank y'all for having us this morning. I'm Mark Melton, Sheriff of Appin County, and with me is...
Kathy Brinkley, Assistant 911 Director, 911 Center.
Captain Henry Alderman, 911 Director.
Great. We're so excited to have you guys in. And I think what we've kind of been doing this morning is asking everybody about their personal experience during the hurricane. So, Sheriff, I'm going to go to you first, if you don't mind sharing just a little bit about that night and kind of what you experienced.
Yeah. You know, when the storm come in, we always get these reports about the storms, how bad they're going to be, and they always, up to this point, never fulfilled the promise of how bad it was going to be.
Right.
You know, they were bad, but not unbelievably bad. And so I remember that night, later in the night around 11 o'clock when the wind started hitting and they were at sustained about 45, 50 mile an hour. And I'm like, man, this is going to be rough. You know, everything around us was hollering and moaning and groaning. And throughout my career as the sheriff, we never sat in through a storm. Our guys was working mm-hmm. through the storm, and about 11:30 that night when it got to 50, I said, guys, we need to come in. And we come in and weathered the storm inside the sheriff's office, and we got backup power. We lost our power. We lost our backup power. And, you know, we could hear the storm. We didn't know what was going on, and my thoughts at about 4:30 that morning when we first come out after the storm, it was still, you know, pretty strong winds, but it was definitely decreasing. But I remember walking out, getting in my car and getting on 341, and I turned left and I couldn't go but a few blocks for obstructions, and I, you know, turned and got on Tipping Street. I couldn't go that way. You know, I literally had to weave in and out of yards and parking lots and different things to get a mile. And it was, I remember thinking that we were going to have dead people throughout the county. You know, that was my thought. There's going to be some fatalities.
Right.
Based on this, based on the destruction that I saw. And I was still in that mindset until 11 or 12 o'clock thinking, surely, you know, somebody, because houses were destroyed, trees, I mean, I remember giving a report out to some of the GEMA folks that called, and I said, initially, I said, you know, there's thousands of trees down and hundreds of homes destroyed.
Right.
And then by 11 or 12 o'clock, as I had gotten around to some of the county, not all of it, because you couldn't get anywhere, I called them back. I said, hey, guys, I miscalculated this thing. We got hundreds of thousands of trees down in our county. And we got thousands of homes that are, you know, destroyed to some degree, some of them severely, but a lot of them have serious damage to them. And I just, you know, I thank God every day that we didn't have a fatality. We didn't really have any major medical injuries. We had a couple major medical calls during that storm.
Right.
And it just shocked me how good God is to us. In the worst days, we were able to say that we'd survived one of the most severe storms that I've ever seen in my life.
And that's the thing. It was just so devastating. And just so, even talking about it makes the hairs on my arm stand up and literally chills up my spine when we talk about what happened here that night. And even after that, and that's one of the things that I think we had talked about prior to Helene hitting, is that there would become a point in the night where everyone was going to have to stay put. You know, when we tell everybody, okay, we know the storm is coming. We know that you need a shelter in place. And there's going to be a point in the night where we can't respond because we've got to wait for the all and clear. And I think we've talked about that a little bit earlier this morning on the show. And that's very important for people to understand, because in the event of another type of winter storm or hurricane or tropical storm moving into our location, is that you really have to take that preparedness checklist, and you have to take it pretty seriously, because when you're in your home at night and you cannot call for help, all you can do is wait to see if the sun's going to come up. It's really very scary. And it's very hard to accept the fact that you can't pick up a phone, because now we don't have cell phone service, or, you know, our landlines aren't working, or we can't call to 911 because they're on hold until they can get the clear, because in order for y'all to go out and take care of us, you've got to be in a safer environment and in a safe place to do that. And
absolutely. Like I said, we had never hunkered down through a storm.
Right.
But we had to hunker down through this one. When the winds got up, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour, man, you can't drive a car. You absolutely cannot maneuver in those kind of winds. And, you know, you get out and just, you could hear trees popping and snapping. And you couldn't see them, but you knew it was going on.
You did.
And it was actually... we did get calls. In fact, I got some numbers here. Kathy will probably talk about in just a minute. But
okay.
You know, throughout the storm, we were still able to get some calls in.
Right.
And we were able to, you know, talk people down and calm them down. But we still, we did lose a tremendous amount. I remember the next morning, right after daylight, I was directing traffic I didn't even understand why people were out driving. I'm like, how'd you get here?
Yeah.
You know, how'd you get around all those obstacles to get to town? And one guy said, I'm coming up here to get a biscuit. I said, man, nobody in town's got any power. I don't think you're getting a biscuit this morning.
It's the most South Georgia thing I've ever heard. But yeah, those trees outside my house, it sounded like bombs going off. Like, you'd feel the trees. I'm like, man, did that one hit the house? Thank God none of them did, but it was so loud.
Right.
I mean, it was scary. People are traumatized by this. I mean, it was, you always hear, oh, this is going to be the storm of the century. It's going to be this storm. It's going to be that storm. And you get to where you're kind of skeptical of it, but then it actually happens. You actually get hit with the storm of the century, and it changes everything.
It really does. And, you know, I had plans that night, and I think Cody and I had talked about it. We had gone over, like, our plan for the station, and I had planned on being back at the station. But the timeline of that storm getting to us had been pushed back, and it kept continuing being pushed back. So my safe place is usually at the radio station during a storm, because that's the only place I can go to help folks during a storm, you know, because people are normally calling, and we're able to kind of talk folks through on the radio. But we couldn't do that night, and I was actually very grateful that I had not gotten in my car and came back to the station earlier in the night, which at one point I had considered doing, because I would have never been able to get back to my house.
That's right.
Because there was just so much debris and so many trees. And then on top of that, you have to factor in power lines, because you never know if those are still live or not once they come down. So you kind of have to wait for the clear on that as well.
I tell you, speaking about power lines too, we were so blessed in a few ways. If had we not lost the total grid service, those power lines being down would have been so much more detrimental.
Right.
Because people was driving over and walking over them.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even have a clue. But the truth was that the grid was out completely.
Right.
And if it had not been for that, we would have had a lot of problems with people and power issues, you know, as far as getting probably electrocuted and you know, because it was just amazing how people had a total lack. They didn't understand.
Right.
What the potential was, and you know, they knew it was bad, but they just, you know, you don't put two and two together sometimes when you just take it for granted that it's safe, but it could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely. Real quick, let's talk a little bit about the 911 center. Of course, you guys were still taking calls, I assume, initially. Yeah. But you just couldn't dispatch? How did that work over there?
Yes, initially, we were receiving calls as early as still 9 p.m.
Okay.
You know, basically when the wind was getting up, we were receiving calls around 2100 hours, which was 9 p.m., where, you know, we started having trees down, power lines down, you know. Probably shortly after midnight, we started getting the calls because the wind was getting up so much. Mm-hmm. The alarms at residentials, residents and businesses were going off due to the wind, high winds and all. At this point, we've already had surpassed where we could send out any help
right.
to check those out. So we were just bunkering down and, you know, just trying to ride it out. We were still able to receive calls shortly after probably 2 a.m. in the morning. We were getting calls. There were people still on the roadway, which was kind of wild. You
that
know?
Is.
When they were trying to either get home because they were getting off of work or they were trying to find shelter somewhere else. And, you know, they were going into the ditch. And, you
right.
know, we were unable to send somebody out. And there was a few places at the motels that, you know, were people could go and try to take shelter, and one of the local motels, we had the roof blew off. So it's a two-story, you know, hotel, and so everybody was trying to migrate downstairs and to where everybody, the other existing people, the guests were staying. There was some minor injuries, and I think we had some medical calls. Of course, we couldn't send anybody out. So we, as a dispatcher, we were just trying to talk them through the anxiety.
Right. Okay. And I have to ask a question about that, because I can't imagine with the volume of calls that y'all take in, and then you're worried as well, because you live here, you live nearby.
Right.
You know that things are happening at your house with your family as well.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to stay calm enough
Absolutely.
To assist someone else. I mean, is that an emotional toll that you guys go through? I mean, how do you manage to get through that?
That's a very good question. Just the good Lord above
right.
gives us strength in that, because I, of course, have family at home, and I was speaking with my daughter up until the phone lines quit. We weren't able to communicate anymore, and you just have to kind of suppress what you're feeling at that time so you can help who needs the help at the time.
And gosh.
And that's one of the rewarding things about this job, is to know that you are helping somebody, even though you're going through some things yourself.
Right.
And we were busy all during the night, even though the phone lines, you know, at some point finally did go down. Just being able to help those that call in. I mean, I could specifically remember one guy was traveling, trying to get one place, the others around 4, I think 3 to 4 a.m. in a vehicle, and he was had run off the road because the wind, the trees, and he was actually in an area that he ran off the road, and the trees were falling right in front of his vehicle.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, should I get out? You know, what should I do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just stay. I think it would have been more of a problem for him to get out and try to, you know.
Right.
Walk somewhere. So, you know, I just talked him through it. Just staying on the line, hearing a voice.
Right. Somebody's
with you. He was by himself, but, you know, I'm here with you.
Right.
You know, so.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And we probably... I know we still received, even though they couldn't go out and respond, you know, at a certain point, they still ended up responding prior to and after, like, to 170 calls.
Wow.
The agency. But we've received, as a dispatch, almost 600 calls in 11 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what's an average day without a storm coming through?
It varies,
okay.
obviously, but in a day, probably 50.
So did y'all have to bring in more staff for that night?
Or? Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I gotcha.
For each department, we more than tripled probably our staff. Everybody was always on call, but we had a lot of staff. Yes,
and we had staff that was trapped at home. They couldn't get to work.
Gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, because y'all aren't set up to work from home. It's not like a work from home kind of job. They have to come in. So.
Oh yeah, we had to run some deputies the next day to get our folks to work.
Right.
I mean, and they were weaving in and out of. Under power lines, trying to get to our employees to get them to work, because again, when everybody else can't go to work, they depend on us to be at work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe, like, from a general public standpoint, we really take that for granted, because, you know, when we call and we need you then and right then, and we're going through something. And I think maybe a lot of the times we don't think about that you guys have families as well, and that you're going through the exact same thing, but you're not with your family. So. You know, that's an incredible position to be in, and just you have to have a huge heart to be able to do positions and work in jobs like that. It's like the people at the hospital. You know, they have the same situation, but they can't say, oh, I've got to go home. You know, I'm leaving now. So they're just kind of stuck as well. And you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking about your family and you're praying for your family, especially when there's no cell phone service. Because we have all grown so accustomed to being able to pick up the phone or send a text. So when that communication was initially cut off, it was like, what do we do? So
we were lost.
We were lost. Yes. We really were. We were lost. And I know as y'all went into, as the sun was coming up and y'all started getting calls, how long would you say it took before 911 was able to actually start dispatching again? Was it like immediately once we started seeing daylight, or was it more toward lunch, or do you have any idea?
Well, more after daylight, because like we had trees down, power lines down, so it's a safety issue.
Right.
We couldn't get people out and send them in harm's way. And we just told people just to be patient with us until we can get some help to them.
Gotcha.
Because, like the sheriff said, I was actually riding with the sheriff. And it was then when I realized the devastation to our community. I mean, we could barely navigate down the roads. And we got people out there traveling that when you see trees down, businesses destroyed, we don't even know if our homes are still standing.
Yeah.
This was a storm like no other.
It really was.
Yes, but we were truly blessed, as he said, no loss of life.
Right.
That's a miracle in and of itself, but this was a devastating storm.
It was.
Katie, we have the greatest county, I believe, in the state of Georgia, and we got the greatest citizens, man. Mm-hmm. They came out in masses after the storm. And we had roads cleared up and pathways cleared from town out to the countrysides. And within hours, passages were opened back up that you couldn't mm-hmm. have passed. Farmers that had tractors and people that had chainsaws and people that didn't have anything but just come out and give their back and their strength mm-hmm. to move stuff around. And we opened up pathways that it would have taken the county weeks or months to get opened up if the people had just depended on our county government and our state government to open roadways. We didn't see, and nothing, I'm not knocking anybody, we didn't see the state DOT for a week or so.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And we cleared state roads that you know was their responsibility, and you know they won't touch a county road, but we didn't hesitate, and our citizens didn't hesitate. We had our county open back up within a couple of days that everybody in the county had access to get to town to get help and get supplies and get to the hospital or things that they needed. It was just amazing to see the teamwork. And when I think about storms, I don't know what it is. If I ever get to speak to God personally, I hope I do, I'm going to say, God, why you always send them storms at night? Why don't you right. send them during the day so we can see what's going on? Because it's 10 times worse when it's at night and you can't see what's going on. You can hear it, and the fear and the anxiety is, you know, just multiplied because you can't see it. During the day, you right. might could see it. And it may be worse. I don't know. It right. could be worse that you could see how bad it was, because it really was bad. And but I'm telling you, we are blessed people. And in all of that, I know y'all know, we didn't lose Captain Wright, but Captain Wright, our beloved Kenny Wright, he had a stroke out trying to help folks, and you know, he's never come back to us. Now he's alive and he's doing well, but he's never coming back to this work. And he was a people mm-hmm. person. You know, he wanted to help his community. And he has for many years, and we miss him dearly, but that's part of what this job is. And it's not a job for these guys. These guys that work 911, that work in the EMS and the hospitals, like you just mentioned, it's a calling.
Right.
They absolutely are called to be there. And the ones that aren't called, they don't stay in this profession. They move on. And but the ones that are called, you know, they put everything else aside and they go out and take care of business.
So what would you say is the biggest thing that we've learned from Helene in moving forward, like with the little system that we have sitting out in the Atlantic now? What is the takeaway from Helene that we learned?
I think that we all need to be a little more prepared. Mm-hmm. We all need to consider that we may be stranded for a day or two or a week.
Right.
You know, you may be without power if, you know, there was literally people that was without power for 30 days.
I remember that.
And, you know, in that situation, there's lots and lots that had you prepared
right.
for those eventual or for those potential circumstances, life would have been better for you. But when you don't prepare, when you think, well, I, you know, it's going to be, I'll be back in the saddle in a day or two, and you didn't do anything to prepare, man, you could be in a bind food-wise. How you going to survive, you know, water, drinking water, bathing water. And, you know, we're spoiled society now, man. I need a shower every day.
Right.
And when I don't feel good. I don't feel healthy. I'm like, right. You know, and you got to think about those things.
Absolutely. Cody, do you have anything to add?
Make sure you get a generator. Make sure you test your generator. Make sure your generator's working. Make sure you have some jerry cans full of gas for your generator.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we were just having this discussion the other day because, you know, we're moving my dad down here as soon as we sell his house. And when we had the hurricane before, after I started to get the ball rolling here at the station, I was going to his house at night to sleep. And now we're going to not have that option. Plus, he has medical problems as well. So my first thing was, before you move down here, we need to go get a generator for the house, not because I'm expecting a storm, but because we need to be prepared in the future because we won't have anywhere to go. Like, we're, you know, if another storm were to come through here, I need to make sure that our household is prepared in any way, form, or fashion.
Better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it.
That's true.
I tell you too, Katie, one thing that I think people learn from this experience is you need to be prepared with insurance and things that cover
yes.
the damage. I heard so many people say, man, I didn't have insurance. I don't have insurance. I don't know how I'm going to rebuild. And I don't know how they are going to rebuild, you know, because it's not cheap. When your roof blows off, you're not talking about a few thousand dollars. You're talking
yeah.
big money. And I think it's an opportunity for people to realize that it's so important to cover your property because without it, you could be, you know, looking at total devastation of your finances.
Absolutely.
And make sure you get flood insurance. That's separate.
That's right.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your busy morning schedule to come in and be on the show this morning. You know, there were just so many extraordinary, ordinary people that just stepped up to the plate during this time. And like we said, we could never thank everybody. We don't know everybody. It's not only right here in Appling. It's in all of our listening area. And, of course, like Deidre said this morning, we need to be thanking God as well because we would not have made it through that night had he have not been protecting our communities yes. at this
Absolutely.
Point. So,
yes.
Well, thank you guys so much. Y'all come back and see me anytime you want to.
Thank you.
Thank you.